Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. It is great to be here with you. So it's a Wednesday and it's a really good day. Good day because we're 9 days until the smack off. Good day because we've got a game seven of the Stanley Cup final. Good day because we're right back at it in the NBA finals tomorrow with game six. It's a really good day. Really good day. Good day because, not because of the 25th anniversary of Oge. For some reason, y'all think that's something to celebrate. But then again, you've been celebrating it for the past 25 years, so why would you not celebrate this on the 25th anniversary? Hey, Jim, the 25th smack-off. And my 25th anniversary is what I would like to call a doubleheader. Signed, OJ. Mike in Buffalo. Dear Snags, what a splendid anniversary it is, indeed. I am really looking forward to your player profiles of Cato Kalin and Judge Ito. Thanks. Jim in C-Town wore Doc Boudreau. This dude still wears Doc Boudreau after all that time. And really quickly, a quick rip through Twitter. Since I'm always telling you, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Twitter. Since I always tell you to hit me up on Twitter, I should read some of your tweets. At the outrageous. Hi. Good show, dude. Did you kill the hack off? I did. Yes, I did. I did kill the hack off. Guilty. And Mark the Nomad. Can you ask Adam Hawk how he became the Lane Kiffin of radio, falling forward every single time he gets a new job? Also, did Donovan McNabb vomit before every show from nerves, asking for a friend? Adam, pick him up again. This is your record. Three times in the first hour. This guy's asking for a friend. Did Donovan vomit before every program?
He did not, no.
Did he vomit even once before a program?
Nope.
How was he to work for?
He was great.
How come you've got nothing to say about nothing all of a sudden, Hawk?
Love McNasty. He was great.
How was he great? Why was he great?
He would come in, hang out, be a nice guy. Great to work for. Got nothing but positive things to say about McNabb.
Really, it sounds like you're not saying anything positive at all. It sounds like you're talking out your ass. Go away, Hawk. You're done. Let's see. Sean Shackelford tweets, happy 25th, Jimmy. Wore the slash off. Still not a thing. Rich in the 302 tweets, where is slash in Brentwood? Hashtag slash off 25. Not a thing. We're not hashtagging that. Leff in Laguna is in. Brad in Corona wrote a book, If I Did It, but about the Leff in Laguna rule. Hashtag slash off 25. Jamie in Green Bay. Okay, we get it. No more OJ today. Changing gears. Can we get a call from Slash in Brentwood? Wells in the 360 tweets, OJ radio is a million times better than nice radio. PC Brent 1 tweets, leave OJ alone. He's still neat and clean. Signed, Andy in Rockland.
I went to see her and OJ was there.
Where? Well, hold on.
At the Palm Desert Hotel.
Okay, the Palm Desert Hotel back in the 80s. You went to see your girlfriend and OJ was there. Then what happened?
We had drinks with him. And I think she might have had sex with him.
Oh. You think or you know?
Yeah.
Which?
He was very nice and clean.
Okay. Awkward.
Awkward.
That's the very definition of awkward.
Awkward.
Not even. I was getting fat. Just awkward.
Fat.
Not that fat. The other fat. Harrison Smith is coming up in about 13 minutes. All right. So really quickly. There is a reality show announced. Or a reality show which made an announcement of which NFL team it's going to cover this year, and you will never, ever guess who it is. Wait for it. A little longer, and the Oakland Raiders. Oh, hell no. That just happened. That's a real thing. They are going there. The Raiders are getting their own freaking reality show. Are you serious? According to John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. You mean John Gruden, who never turned down a chance to hype John Gruden, is going to allow cameras and microphones into his facility? Who the hell saw that coming? Answer, everybody. Yeah, right. Because they were really going to go with Washington or Frisco or the Giants or the Lions. Sure, they weren't. There was no way that they weren't hosting this reality show in Oakland. The most predictable thing ever. This team and this roster were built to appear on reality TV. And not in a good way either. Not in an interesting way either. But in a tired and played out way, like most reality television. It's almost like they found a couple of D-bag reality producers that took over an office in the facility and they started building the roster entirely around hashtag content. But you know me. I'll keep an open mind, right? I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. I will keep an open mind. I always do. I'm smart like that. All right. I'll play along. D-bags, pitch me. What do you got? What is this show? All right, you got Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown turned himself into a reality show to get out of Pittsburgh, and now he's in Oakland, and he's going to team up with Vontaze Burfict, the artist formerly known as the dirtiest player in football. Remember when Burfict drilled Brown when they played against each other? Now, they're in the same locker room. Spicy! Now, Burfict will have the opportunity to put Mr. Big Chest in the protocol every single day in practice. All right, pretty good start. Solid start. You got my attention. But if that's all you have, that's not enough. What else you got? Oh, the wacky owner with the Kirk Heinrich haircut. Except painted red. Oh, and that minivan. And that obsession with P.F. Chang's. And the flip phone. That, honestly, that's actually all of it. Dope. Especially Grandpa's strawberry Heinrich cut. Man, keep the camera on that dude 24/7. And remember to hit that guy with some copper tone. Copper tone, Pops. You're already freckling badly. All right, what else you got? You got Burfict, you got Mr. Big Chest, you got the rich, weird dude with the Heinrich cut. Still not enough to get me to watch. How about that other dude with the miserable cut who makes those stupid faces, who acts like he invented the game, but whenever one of his decisions blows up in his face, he gets behind the wheel of the team bus and he runs over somebody. That's right, Chunk. Chunk Gruden, that's my guy. What are you doing with him? Yeah, you know what you can do with him? He can beef with his once great quarterback. Oh, bring in Nate Peterman to throw some pick sixes. Then we can see Chunk turn beet red and break stuff. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Maybe I'll mix this in. Maybe. But the show needs something else, man. It needs a really dangerous dude. That one dude who is really unpredictable. That one guy, every team has one, that one guy who's capable of burning that place right to the ground. Ideas, people. I need ideas. What do you got? Hey, boss, I got one. How about this? Richie Incognito. Hell yes! Richard Incognito. Wait, wasn't Rich the guy who told police last year that he was, quote, running NSA class level 3 documents? Didn't he say that? And was he not the guy who demanded to have his late father decapitated? And the same guy who allegedly punched a hole in the wall and ripped a security system apart in an incident with his 90-year-old grandmother? Oh, hell yes, I'm here for that. They just dropped a Molotov cocktail right into the proceedings, and look what happened. Look, these dudes never even have to win a game to get my attention. These dudes Never even have to play a game to get my attention. Incognito is worth the $30 a month alone to watch this. I mean, if this guy is willing to punch a hole in the wall with his 90-year-old grandmother and tell funeral home workers to cut off his dad's head, what is this guy going to say or do when the offensive line coach questions his technique? Better get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready. The only thing this show is missing is a Steve Carbone spoiler alert. Yo, Stevie, you coming in on the 21st? Think. Stevie, you got to be there now. Except there really are no spoilers for here. You know why that is? Because this show is the most predictable thing ever. The most predictable thing ever. That show, that franchise, the most predictable thing ever. Keeping Up with the Kardashians thinks this show has gotten a little bit stale. Cops looks at this show and says, yeah, maybe you move on. Seriously, how did they ever convince John Gruden to allow cameras and microphones to be shoved into his face and at practice? It's almost like this guy's built his brand on over-the-top, mic'd-up segments. Look, I'm not going to say that the show didn't have its day. I'm not going to say that show didn't used to be interesting. I'm not even going to say that that show didn't used to be must-see TV. It was. But that was a long, long time ago. Now it feels old, tired, beaten down. Man, do the humane thing and just put it down once and for all. Just do it. You know what it's like? I hate to say it, but it was like the jungle tour stops back in the day. Biggest thing in the world. Best thing in the world. But then it got to a point where we were just going to the same markets, the same places, because only certain affiliates could pull it off. So I just did the humane thing. I just stopped doing it. And I'm looking always for the right way to bring it back. Same thing with that TV show. Because if you are looking, and if you're looking forward to this, again, the issue is you. The issue is you, not them. Do yourself a favor. Go outside. Go for a walk. Find a hobby. Read a book. Do something. Do anything. Because if you really are looking forward to this, this means you've got nothing better to do. And your life did not turn out the way you had hoped.
And you know,
unless you're that guy, there is no reason to look forward to that. If you are that guy, there is no reason to look forward to that.
Hindsight 50-50.
Hindsight is 50-50. Most predictable thing ever. Not watching it. All right, still ahead. Minnesota Vikings safety Harrison Smith. And by still ahead, I mean next segment. Wait for it. Are you finding it tougher and tougher to get to the grocery store? Let Walmart do it for you instead. Just make your list. Set a time for free pickup or delivery, then go about your day. Walmart associates will pick the best items for you, including fresh produce. They will get it ready. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient. Satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Just download the Walmart grocery app. Get started that way. Remember to use my code, WOWFRESH. WOWFRESH. That'll get you $10 off your first order. It is a $50 minimum purchase. It does not expire until December 31st, 2019. A small fee does apply. Download the Walmart grocery app. Get started. Use my code WOWFRESH. Get $10 off.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, welcome back. Rolling right through. This Wednesday, I am Jim Rome. As promised, we are joined by a safety for the Minnesota Vikings, a four-time Pro Bowler. 84 tackles, 3 sacks, 6 passes defense, 3 picks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery last season. In other words, another huge year. 4 career pick sixes, most in team history. 29th pick back in 2012 out of Notre Dame. The pride of Alumni Hall. They open up their season against Atlanta on September 8th. Harrison Smith is my guest. Harrison, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Good to have you. Listen, the team started 3 days of mandatory minicamp practices yesterday. How has the offseason been for you? How would you describe the mood among the players as you get ready for the 2019 season?
Offseason's been going well. We're bringing back a lot of guys on defense and getting a new offense rolling. So it's good to go against those guys, and they've been coming up with some good stuff for us.
All right, so one of the guys who came back is linebacker Anthony Barr. It looked like he was on his way to the Jets, but then he decides to re-sign with you guys. What's it mean to have him back, and what's it say about him that he was willing to leave money on the table to stay with you?
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough, obviously, to make that decision, and I don't want to speak for him, but I know when it came down to it, he was going to make a lot of money regardless, and when he really thought about it and the realities of it, he wanted to be here and he wanted to win here. I believe he felt like there was some unfinished business and he just couldn't make that move, and he wanted to come back and play with the boys.
Harrison Smith joining us. And to that point, I mean, you guys are tight. You guys are really good friends. You know it's a business. You know guys have to make business decisions. You're never going to fault anybody for that. But when he decided to come back, how pumped were you personally?
I was pretty pumped because I talked to him a little bit beforehand. And like you said, it's a business. Totally understand that. And I saw the report that he was going there. So I said, congrats. Enjoy it out there. And he said, maybe not yet. And so I was pretty pumped when he said that. Still didn't, I expected it to still go down to the wire as it probably did. But, personally, like I said, he's a great player and he's going to help our team and chase that unfinished business. But, he's also a great friend, so it's always good to have him back.
Minnesota Vikings safety, Harrison Smith, my guest. Listen, I know you're not going to make it about you, but let me take a moment. I want to read you a quote from Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick said this of you. Harrison Smith does a great job with pre-snap disguise. He is one of the best. Smith, Ed Reed, Polamalu, those guys are, I'd say, among the best. He's certainly right there, end quote. Look, I know you're not looking to hype yourself, but what's your reaction when you hear arguably the greatest NFL head coach of all time compare you to guys like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu?
Well, that was the week leading up to our game. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt. I didn't know if he was kind of setting me up and wanted me to try to disguise a little more because he had something for me. But getting compliments is always great, and coming from, like you said, probably the best coach of all time. It means something, but it's also he also said pre-snap stuff. So I gotta match up the post snap stuff with those guys as well, because those are two of the greats that I grew up watching and have a ton of respect for, both Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu.
So in terms of pre-snap, again, one of the things that he did praise you is the fact that you're so hard to read on the field before the snap, and the way that you time your movements. You've talked in the past about loving the chess match of football. So in your experience, how much of winning the play is about what happens before the ball is snapped?
I don't know exactly how much, and it changes based on each situation, down and distance, who we're playing, stuff like that. But there's definitely that you can definitely gain some advantages there. There's also times where, like, maybe I'm doing a little too much, and you've always got to be able to execute your assignment no matter what you're doing and moving around beforehand. But a lot of times it sets up other guys, and that's what it's about. So I try to do those things and try to learn from Zim and George and Jerry Gray, as far as, if I show this, we can get them to do that or think this. So I'm always learning from the coaches.
We're talking to Harrison Smith. Now, the thing is, you become not just one of the faces of that defense, but of the entire team. How much pride do you take then in being a Viking and being a leader on that defense?
Yeah, it's personal for me. It's the only place I've ever played. It's the only place I want to play. It's a place that has never won at all. So I'm very prideful in representing the organization and bringing us to places we haven't been before.
Let me ask you this. When you look at the way the game is played right now and the way rules are changing and how offenses have changed, how different is it then being a safety now versus when you first came into the league? And how much has your approach to the game had to change because of the rule changes?
Yeah, so I came in 2012, and it had kind of started changing a little then. And I remember my rookie year, I got fined like $24,000 in a preseason game.
Wow.
And they didn't, like, you know, they fully upheld it and fined me all that and everything. And I was so mad, and I was like, I'm not changing how I play. I loved watching Sean Taylor, and, you know, everyone talks about Ronnie Lott and those guys and how they used to take people out over the middle. And I wanted to do that. And you still can. It's just, you just have to lower your target, be a little more conscious of where you're striking guys, keeping your head out of things. And then from that point, it's gotten more and more strict, which is good for the safety of both offensive and defensive guys. But definitely just focusing on lowering your target, which isn't always possible. But as long as I found, as long as I'm trying to do it, I normally get, you know, in the ballpark, and you can still have those big hits and impact plays without breaking any rules.
We're talking to Harrison Smith. You mentioned Sean Taylor. I mean, part of this obviously is because he left everybody way too soon, but I'm telling you, I don't know too many guys that were more universally beloved and respected than Sean Taylor. What did you like about him and his game?
I loved him when he was at Miami. You know, I think he was all over the place. He was a safety that was, he wasn't one dimensional. He was blowing people up in the run game. He was getting picks. He was covering guys. He was returning balls to the house. So ever since he was at Miami, I loved watching him play, and then obviously at the Redskins. And I think most safeties in the league today would probably say he was a guy that we all looked up to. And like you said, left us too soon. But watching him play was just so fun, and I still go back and watch his clips every now and then.
That's cool. Minnesota Vikings safety Harrison Smith joining us. Earlier in the offseason, you participated in the third annual Firefighters Challenge. It's hosted by Dennis Leary. First off, how did the invitation come to be, and what were you feeling like when you started the day?
Yeah, it might sound like a random connection, you know, being a Vikings player and going to New York. But Dennis Leary has his foundation. You know, he did the show Rescue Me, and he's got that whole background. And then my cousin, Elaine Hendricks, is an actress, and she's been on a few shows with him, and they've become friends. So she invited me last year, and I couldn't make it. Invited me again, and I was like, you know, I got to get out there and check that out. It's kind of once-in-a-lifetime deal. And I wasn't really that nervous just because all the firefighters were so, like, welcoming and reassuring. And, you know, it was a controlled environment, but, you know, we got to go into some buildings. They put some fires in and, you know, work the hose and rappel down, like, five stories, I think. So we got to do some pretty cool stuff, and then really just being around the firefighters and how they interact with one another, and how they, you know, they have a great deal of trust in one another, obviously, and, you know, risk it all every day. But they also have, like, a great sense of camaraderie, and I just thought it was a really cool thing to be a part of. I kind of want to bring the Vikings DBs out there sometime and do it all.
I mean, I would imagine there's probably, like, this amazing team concept that these guys have. Like, you already had a lot of respect for firefighters and what they did before that challenge, but you'd be the first to point out that it only scratched the surface. Like, did you learn anything more about firefighters and their jobs than maybe you didn't know before?
Yeah, I did. I learned a lot, whether it was, like, just their day-to-day stuff, like asking them how they eat, sitting in the firehouse, and then when they go into fires, you can't see anything. There's smoke everywhere. You can't even really see the fire, how they rely on one another. And like you said, we just scratched the surface. Like, it's not like we were doing anything crazy because it was all controlled environment. But when they go out there, you know, it's high risk, and they don't know exactly, you know, how the building is structure-wise and things like that. So they really have to count on one another. And it just scratched the surface, but gave me even a higher level of respect for what those men and women do.
So why did you ask them why they eat? Were you trying to see if they eat clean? And what was the answer?
Yeah, I was just curious, like, how they eat. Like, do they have a cafeteria like we do? They said no, like, they have to provide their own food or cook, you know, like, they said basically, you know, there's a couple guys or girls that are good at cooking, and there's a couple that aren't, and they just get to eat. They don't have to cook anything, maybe clean the dishes. I don't know. I was just curious about their day-to-day lives when they're not in the fires.
For sure. Harrison Smith joining us. That's why I ask. I would be too. Hey, are you watching, out of curiosity, we talk about sports being a business. It's business. Are you watching the NBA Finals?
I am.
So what do you, as a pro athlete, when you see Kevin Durant, right, you know he's banged up, and you hear everything that's being said and speculated by a bunch of people who have no idea, they're not in the middle of it. What did you think of him trying to get out there, and you know he's not 100%, and then he's balling out, he's playing lights out, and then goes down the way he did? As a pro athlete, seeing that and knowing what goes into it, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, I think obviously you get on social media and everyone's saying, you know, a guy sitting out or looking to the off season or whatever. And then you see, obviously he wanted to be out there playing and put it all on the line. He knew he wasn't 100%, but it's the finals. So I totally understand that. And then, you know, it was no matter who you're rooting for, it was tough for him to see him go down like that. But, I definitely understand wanting to get out there. It's the finals. Like, that's what the whole season is for. And it happens a lot in football. Just, you know, there's a lot of injuries throughout the year. And sometimes you might play in a game where you're like, man, maybe if I didn't play, we would have had a better shot because the guy behind me probably would have been better than me, you know, if I'm not 100%. But it's just a tough call because everyone's a super competitor and wants to make a difference. So a ton of respect for him getting out there. It's just unfortunate how it went down.
He is a four-time. I appreciate your thoughts on that, too. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He is an All-Pro coming off another huge year. More career pick sixes than anybody in team history. Minnesota's going to open up against Atlanta on September 8th. Harrison, great talking to you, man. Great to have you back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Good stuff, Harrison. Appreciate it. I go along with what he said. That's what I said before he came on. You know, we're talking about a guy when you've got all this noise, lots of noise on social and elsewhere about why isn't he out there? He's got teammates who are busted up. They're out there. Why isn't he trying? It's, quote, a calf sprain. Why is it taking so long? Doesn't he want to be there? Is he thinking about himself? Is he thinking about free agency? Didn't the team say that he might make it back for the finals? Hell of a lot of noise. And you can't tell me that he's not hearing it, especially that guy, because we know that he does look for it. We know he does hear it because we've seen him react to it. So it's a lot more than just the team cleared him. It's a lot more than just maybe the team encouraged him. I don't know if they bullied him. I doubt it sincerely. I would still say at the end of the day, he may have felt pressure. He may have felt a lot of pressure. But again, clearing a guy is not the same thing as making a guy do it. And you can't make that guy play if he doesn't want to play. Ultimately, it's going to come down to him. I still think, without knowing my own personal opinion, Kevin Durant is a smart guy. Kevin Durant is a competitive guy. Kevin Durant is one of the best to ever do it. Kevin Durant wants to stack trophies. Larry O's. He knew what was going on. The team was in trouble. They're out there. They're battling. He wanted to rejoin the fight. He got all the information. Talked to the doctors, looked at the MRIs, talked to his team, talked to his coaches, then got with his team, got with his advisors, got with his agent, got with his family, got with the people who mattered most to him. Sat down, analyzed it again, looked at it. Checked his body because nobody knows his body like him and said, let's do this. I'm ready. Let's go. Then he goes out there and he's playing his ass off. There was a major price to be paid. He gambled. They crapped out. But I'm going to tell you, they don't win that game without his 12 minutes. They would not have won that game without his 12 minutes. And nobody was saying 12 minutes in, man, this is the wrong choice. People were saying, damn, he's hit three threes. Damn, it is the right choice. This guy's a freak. Until he went down. All right, when we come back, I've laid out all my thoughts on that. I'll take yours. 9 days until the smack off. Adam Jones, next hour. Here is a golden ticket recipient who is taking my advice. She wants in. She wants to RSVP. She wants to solidify her spot. Mona in Knoxville is on hold. Also still ahead, a smack off player profile. Today we have Mark in Boston. Mackie. Mack in Boston. This guy can do some damage now. He's dangerous. He can do some damage. Also, I want to talk Brooks Koepka and the U.S. Open. It gets underway in under 24 hours. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. My man Rich Ackerman's got it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Smack Off 25, presented by My Pals at Vivid Seats. This year, Vivid Seats is giving every Smack Off caller that makes it to air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let Vivid Seats help you get your favorite live event. Get to it. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. Speaking of Smack Off 25, time for another Smack Off player profile. Just like that, we are now inside of single digits on the countdown clock for Smack Off 25. 9 days now until the main event. 9 days, seven shows. Seven shows. This thing is rolling downhill. We will be here before you know it. And by now you know, I've been hyping this event in a number of different ways, including watch parties. Remember, it is a TV show. The radio show is a TV show. It has been now for a year and a half. Right now, by my count, there are seven different Smack Off watch parties that are taking place across the country. Seven that I know of. You've got Portland, Oakland, Dana Point here in Cali, Phoenix, Green Bay, Buffalo, Auburn, and Maine. Maine. After the show today, go to my Twitter feed, at Jim Rome. I am going to post event details for every one of them. Seven watch parties. This way you can get all the information in one place, and you'll have a reference point for attending these events if you're in the area and you want to hang out with other clones during the Smack Off and watch it on TV on CBS Sports Network. In addition to the watch parties, I've been calling out the golden ticket class of 2019. Get in here. Solidify your spot on the 21st. Dan in Denver did. Somehow, Rich Flores avoided the choppa yesterday. I'm still looking for the other seven of you to show me something more between now and next Friday. You know the number. You know the drill. You know how much time is left on the clock. You know what you have to do. Get it done. Do your work. Do your job. Finally, I have been profiling the field. Today, I want to look at a dark horse who no-showed last year, but has already RSVP'd this year. Mark in Boston. I'm glad he did. Because on the 21st, this guy can make that show better. This guy can make a difference. This guy can run a big one. He's been no stranger to the 800 number leading up to the event, which I respect. As an example, he called in to roast Keith Arnold in May. And he chased that with a warning to my man D.A., to stay at home next Friday.
Jim, I didn't know that when Keith Arnold left, you'd replace him with a bigger pair of teeth. Hey, D.A., how are we supposed to prove that it's your 40th birthday on Smack Off Day? Count the rings around your sellish beaver-like chompers? Does D.A. stand for dental atrocity? If you couldn't handle getting dunked on by local Boston hosts, you don't want any of this group, dude. Back to overnight's loser. Tell Pharrell we said hi. I know you have a lot of new viewers, listeners, so I wanted to take this opportunity as someone who's listened for ages to inform your audience how the Smack Off came to be. You see, back in 94, when the jungle was first gaining a widespread audience, Jim had a lot of terrible callers, but a few good ones. And then one day, Rich Flores descended on the studio like an archangel from heaven, essentially the first studio storm, and said, Jim, what if I told you that I'm to believe I could get all the best callers to call on the same day? Would that be something you'd be interested in? And Jim was like, oh, hell yeah, Rich. We should call it the Rich Off. But then Rich asked to change it to the Smack Off because we all know that Rich is like the most humble guy in the jungle.
So this guy's got some game. And even though he's only been a Smack Off caller since 2015, he does know the show cold. And when he saw the simulcast for the very first time last year, he called in to reset the death pool, the jungle death pool, and he made his pick.
What is up with that death pool graphic over your right shoulder? I mean, is that something that we're doing now? Because if I am on the clock, I would like to use my first round pick on Iafredi. The dude has incredible value in the first round. It could be a sleeper permanently. You mentioned that Iafredi came in the studio last year. How cold did you have to get the studio to keep him from rapidly mummifying? I'm fascinated by the dudes on the other side of the glass. Every time you show the guys in the studio, I'm half expecting Hawk to reach out from the television and be like, y'all want some weed? You can tell Hawk that if he's going for that Eastern European human trafficker look, he has nailed it. Yeah, I can't tell if Hawk is your EP or if he's trying to sell me his EP.
Mark in Boston. Also called up during the infamous Romageddon show. Remember Romageddon back in September 2017? That was a segment that included personal appearance smack, something that I'd banned a long time ago, but brought back for just one day. In 18 seconds, he got off four different blasts.
And how about our boy Anthony Davis, dude? That guy's face bridge is so thick. If you bleached it white, people would grab straws and try to snort it off of his face. Cal in Vegas, his forehead is so big and greasy, other gamblers see his card's reflection on that billboard. Don't you think it's kind of odd that NASCAR is the only sport where there's literally a crankshaft right in the driver's face the whole time? War playing Connect Four on Seal's face.
You can see why that show was a one-off and will never happen ever again. And how Mark played a huge role in why personal appearance smack has been banned yet again. So this is going to be Mark's fourth smack-off. Right now, the Nut has him going off at 8-1, right alongside Rick in Buffalo. It's not a bad value play. Not a bad value play. Dude's got some heat. He could definitely be a guy that makes some difference. I could see him running a big race. There's a dark horse with value right there. Ball don't lie, and tape don't lie either.
Hey, Caleb, dude, you're like a food blogger that doesn't blog. You just keep posting pictures of food. Yeah, we get it. You eat. I was so bummed to hear you were going to try the In-N-Out, only to see you were only talking about hamburgers, dude.
Hi, I'm Brad in Corona. And like all the mothers of my illegitimate children can attest, my couch pulls out, but I don't.
We birthed our independence on the backs of a bunch of musket-toting badasses. Canada, you stumbled into your freedom basically the same way Mike and Indy lost his V-card, and you probably left your socks on, too.
We're the Americans. We tried to recruit a celebrity, but we just couldn't seem to find anyone. We reached out to Michael J. Fox, but he said he couldn't shake free of his previous engagements.
Holy hell, did you see his trainer working on Brady's legs? Tom versus Time. He should be called Tom versus Tim. He's lucky Giselle didn't walk in, or the reason for separation on their divorce papers would be pliability.
Brad's RSVP on Friday. If that guy is that locked in the week before the smack-off, what chance do any of us, quote, lames have? How are we supposed to compete with the level of straight fire with lines like, Chad and L.A. sucks. Mike and Indy's a bitch. And Caleb in Green Bay makes sandwiches for a living.
Rip up your script, boys. It's over.
I do love the Red Sox. But Caleb always loves his tube sock.
But much like Antonio Cromartie when he found out his wife's tubes were tied, challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. You heard him. Caleb loves his tube socks. See you on the 21st, Mac. Mark in Boston, I'm telling you. I hear that montage. I think 8-1 sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. There's value in that. I know he will be there. He's got a real good chance of making it on air. This is why if you've got a golden ticket, you have to call. You got to play your way in. Yeah, I don't know that you got time right there. Let's go to Knoxville. She's got a golden ticket. Mona, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great.
Look, I'm going to be brief. I'm coming off the night shift where I'm an ER nurse and first responder, and this is my RSVP call. You called me dangerous, like Iceman called Maverick. So let's see how dangerous I can be to people like, oh, I don't know, Rick in Buffalo. How you doing? Get off the pot, man. Love your show.
All right, Mona. Thanks for calling in. Mona in Knoxville has got a golden ticket. She is dangerous. Because she literally is dangerous because I have no idea what she's going to say next.
That's right.
And we need some female representation. And she's coming off the night shift. She's an ER nurse. All right, Mona.
I am dangerous.
Mona, it's a week from Friday. I hope you're there. Next hour, Adam Jones. My thoughts on Brooks Koepka and more. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.